The horseman swung his leg over his mount and dropped to the ground. He swaggered toward me, his thumbs hooked into his sash. It gives me a chance to inspect his sword closer up. The hilt was white, ivory, unless I missed my guess. It was ornately carved with images of dragons upon it.
And whereabouts might you be from?
Here and there.
I see. And where precisely is there?
When I didn't respond, he swung his arm in a wide arc and knocked the hat from my head. Then he gripped my chin and turned my face this way and that, inspecting me as he would a horse.
I have never seen anything like you.
Unfortunately, I had seen his type all too many times in my life. I refrained from saying so, however. It was interesting. I felt as if part of me was stepping outside of myself. Once upon a time, my fundamental cravenness and weakness of spirit would have filled me with fear over what was going to happen next. But something was different this time. Perhaps it was all the time that I'd spent as the Peace Lord of Wuin, seeing people bowing and scraping before me. Instead of fear, I was feeling mounting anger, and I quickly realized why. It was because all this time, I had been wondering and dreading when something would go terribly wrong with the bucolic turn my life had taken. And now that it was here, now that the possible destruction of my newfound existence was upon me, all I could fear was slowly building fury that I had been right. The cynic in me rejoiced, but a budding optimistic side hadn't wanted to be right.
What do you want?
It was Take-On Chin who had spoken, with Cleft Chin right next to him, and Double Chin nearby. Cleft Chin was no more a fighter than anyone else in the village, but he was burlier than the others, and cut an imposing figure when he simply stood still and glowered. He had exceptional glowering skills. Unfortunately, his fighting skills were almost non-existent. I'd watched him spar with the boys on a couple of occasions, and felt confident in saying that Kitchenette could have disposed of him with alacrity. I had to admit, though, Take-On Chin, for all that he annoyed me with his perpetual scowls, wasn't backing down in the face of the newcomer's swaggering attitude. The newcomer looked him up and down.
Do you know who I am?
Should I?
I am KB of the Skanky family. You know the Skanky, I take it?
I know of them. They are reputed to be a business concern, are they not?
Do not toy with me. You know the power and influence wielded by the Skanky.
They are criminals. You all are.
An honest man.
We are all honest men here, you will find. We live in peace. If you come in peace, you will be received as such.
I come in earnest, is what I come in.
He began to walk in a wide circle, hands behind his back. A distinct swagger to his stride that was typical of the thuggish mindset such features possessed.
Thus far, the Skanky family has limited its influence to the major cities. We have decided, however, to branch out. For the solidarity and good of all, it seems the reasonable thing to do, and it will be to your benefits as well.
Our benefit? How is the interest of the Skanky to our benefit? We are simple farmers here. We have no involvement in the activities of the Skanky, or their influence in cities, major or minor.
That will change. Your village will offer up tribute to the Skanky family. Half of what you harvest will become property of the Skanky, to do with as we wish. Silence! Silence! Obviously, you believe that you will be getting nothing for your contribution to the Skanky. That is not at all the case. You will be receiving protection.
Protection? From what?
From them. If you do what they say, you won't wake up one morning to discover the burning of your crops, or your homes, or yourself.
You have a firm understanding of business.
We won't stand for it.
I see. And do you speak for all in this village? All the men? The women?
His gaze settled on Kitchenette, who was watching him with rapt fascination.
The children?
In a flash, his sword was from its scabbard, and I could see instantly that the edge was lean and razor sharp. So sharp, in fact, that it would likely make short work of my staff. Even as he brought the sword whipping around toward Kitchenette, even as the people cried out as one, even as my mind screamed, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" I stepped into the path of the blade with a sigh, yanked from my belt. I brought it up as I would a dagger, thrusting outward in desperation as much as anything else. But sheer dumb luck was on my side, fortune favoring the foolish, and I intercepted the blade between the middle prong and one of the upraised sides. I stepped forward, bringing me chest to chest with KB, twisting my wrist so the sword was angled to one side, away from us, locked into the hold of a simple farming implement. Sometimes a sigh isn't just a sigh. I twisted my wrist as hard as I could. The blade was remarkably flexible, I'll give it that. But the pressure was unexpected and at an extremely odd angle, and the sword simply wasn't built to endure it. The stunned KB was abruptly standing there, holding a hilt with about half an inch of steel extending from it. The rest was lying on the ground, looking like a severed head lonesome for its body.
Shit, done!
I do not know what he said, probably because the residents of Hounds by You were far too polite to have taught it to me. I had no time to rejoice in my minor victory, however. Because KB shoved me square in the chest. I tumbled to the ground. I came up quickly, though, still gripping my staff as he advanced on me, discarding the hilt and whipping out a dagger from hiding.
What, my old near?
I didn't wait for him to draw near. Instead, I thrust the base of my staff forward, catching him squarely in the pit of the stomach. Would that I'd had the other end in position, because I would have popped out my blade and disemboweled the bastard. As it was, he staggered back, holding his gut and looking distinctly pale. But matters were rapidly spiraling out of control, for the other two men had bolted from their horses, and they had their own swords out. Idiot, this is what you get for taking chances on the behalf of others, my inner voice informed me with obvious contempt. I'm quit of you. You're on your own, for the few seconds of life you have left. I had the scythe still poised in one hand, the staff ready in the other as I hauled myself to my feet. Would that I'd had my sword.
Stop!
You'd have thought that a single voice wouldn't have any impact on such as those outlaws, but something about it absolutely commanded attention. Chinpan Ali had emerged from his hut. He was eyeing them thoughtfully, and he wore his calm like a comfortable cloak. He gestured towards his hut.
Come, let us talk.
This one must die!
And he will, as all men must. There is no need for you to hasten it.
Oh, but there's very much a need.
Then kill him later. He's not going anywhere. Share the hospitality of my hut. We will discuss matters and come to an understanding.
Are you in charge of this rat trap?
KB wasn't taking his eyes off of me, but he did take a sidelong glance in Ali's direction.
I am the village elder. That has always been sufficient. Now come, please. Humor an old man.